So if you've ever thought you should be counting calories or tracking your food if you want to lose weight, then think again. So today's episode, I'm going to share the shocking research-based reason why I don't track my food intake, and it's not what you think. Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hi, so welcome to Joyful Eating, episode 166. So today we're talking about the shocking reason I don't track my food intake, research-based reason. So our plan for today is, actually before we get into our plan for today, I better share the best bite that I had. So yesterday for lunch, I hadn't had poached eggs for ages because I've been busy at lunchtime and it's like, I don't have 3 minutes to poach some eggs. So yesterday I was like, no, I really want poached eggs. I'm going to give myself the gift of 3 minutes. And so I poached some eggs fresh from the chickens and I had some grated zucchini and some shaved cabbage in the fridge. So I just put it on a bed of that with some baby spinach for color. And then heaps of drizzle of mayonnaise over the top. And then my new favorite flavor bomb, which I'm calling it the D's Nuts after Mr. Beast, which is a type of chocolate bet that the boys are obsessed with. But it's actually just roast mixed nuts from that I just get from Aldi from the supermarket, pulse them in the food processor. So you get like the chunky crumble kind of like cup of apple crumble texture and just sprinkled that on over the end. And it's got like all the flavor of the nuts and the crunch and that richness. And so it's a little bit like having parmesan on top, but it's, because it's salted as well. And just contrasting with this, like the soft poached eggs, like so good. Okay, so plan for today is, first we're going to, of course, share the story behind this episode. And then we're going to look at 6 regular reasons why I don't track my food intake. And then I'm going to share with you the 1 shocking research-based reason that I don't. And then we're going to talk about what to do instead, like what are your alternatives, and finishing up by giving you a clear next step of an action to take after listening to this. So the story behind this episode is I've just started the new group of the Naturally Healthy Club, which is my 6-month coaching group to help people change their relationship with food and their body and bring more intentionality around their eating and lose some weight. And one of the new members had sent me a message saying, hey, Jules, like, you know, in the past, yeah, tracking my food has really been helpful for me. Are there any apps that you recommend? And I was like, oh, and just thinking about it just reminded me of all the reasons why I actually don't recommend tracking food intake. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do a podcast episode about it. So let's now dive in and look at those. What are the 6 regular reasons I don't recommend? Like I personally don't track my food intake and why I recommend to my clients that they don't as well. So first of all is it's really tedious. Like entering in an app, like finding, like I've done it, but it's like, it's really not fun. And it's very time consuming as well. So I think your time is valuable and there are way better uses of your time than tracking your food intake. So the tedious nature of it as well. Next is that it's actually fairly inaccurate. So whenever we're doing something like this, like you're entering your data into an app, even if you are measuring and weighing things, it's still like the research, like the methods that they use to test and to work out, like to calculate the nutritional value of food, some of them are they're just estimates, right? And so if you're you've got that estimate of the research, like that's a huge margin of error, like just the research methodology. And then there's also the, like, you know, your one large apple could be like, you know, apples vary in size. It could be like, you know, huge variation. So if you're entering in one large apple, it might have been like the same as whatever your app's saying, but actually maybe it was like half that size. And so you are thinking you've eaten this much when you actually haven't. So it can be really misleading as well. And also just our memory recall, like it's really hard to recall like everything that we've eaten. And like, even if you are entering it in real time, like there can still be a lot of inaccuracies there. Oh yeah, I didn't mention with the tedious thing, like who wants to take food scales when you're going out to a restaurant? Like, you know, like, and like, it's just like the inaccuracy and the tedium of it is just, that's really reason enough. But then, like, the other thing is that tracking what you did in the past, like, you can't change what's happened in the past. So it's a little bit like shutting the, you know, gate after the horse has bolted. Like, it's like, you know, that ship has sailed. So tracking it, yes, it can in the moment, if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to track this, it may have some bearing on your behavior. It may help you in some circumstances, change your behavior in the moment when you think, oh, I am going to track this later. But I think generally as a rule, it's not a very effective tool for changing your behavior in the moment. So it isn't helping you change your future behavior. Number four is it can lead to obsessing, like counting every detail. Like, it's like, you know, have I had enough? Have I had too much? Like, it can lead to some really unhealthy thinking patterns around food. Number five, it's teaching you to ignore your body's signals. So when you're tracking, it's like on the app, they're going to get you to calculate your whatever, put your weight and height in and calculate what and they're going to get you to estimate your activity level. Like, are you active? Are you not so active? Are you medium, like sedentary? Like, and then come up with calculate some magical like estimate of what your daily calorie intake should be. And then you're trying to match that every single day you're looking at this app to tell you, rather than this beautiful, perfectly well-functioning human body, you're ignoring that your own body signals for some estimate that an app has figured out for you. Like, it's teaching you to that the app is right and that you're wrong. And so it's sending that message, which is a huge, huge reason in itself. And then number six is which is an extension of ignoring your body signals, is the app assumes, like, well, when you're tracking, it assumes, it's always like, oh yeah, we assume that we are going to need 1600 calorie or whatever. I didn't even know what the numbers are because I'm just so not interested in it. But we need X amount, X calories or X kilojoules every single day, and that's like constant. And so if we have it ignores like the day-to-day fluctuations in our hunger and satiety. And there are so many factors that go into what, like, how much food we need in a particular day that aren't taken into consideration. So, and there is a huge like variation. And one thing that I've learned from these years of like listening to my body is that not every day is the same. And what I need on one day is not the same as the next day. Even if I have done the same amount of activity and my day like is pretty much the same in that way, there can be other factors at play. Like, how was my sleep the night before? Was I up, you know, for 2 hours during the night? And like, because that will increase your appetite, because our bodies use more energy when we're awake than when we're asleep. So if I slept through soundly, I naturally won't need as much food. And then there's like the whole digestive health side of things. Like, if you've got the runs, like what goes into your mouth isn't necessarily what's being absorbed by your body. So you can be like tracking what goes in your mouth, but you have zero visibility of what's actually getting into your cells and being available for use by your body. So if you've got the runs, like, a lot of what you eat isn't even like getting absorbed. So it's not even available to your body. So then you're like, oh, I've eaten my whatever quota for the day, but I'm ravenous. Like, so you're fighting this battle because you're ignoring those day-to-day fluctuations. Just a quick break to say thank you for listening to Joyful Eating. I don't run ads on the podcast, so the only way this podcast grows is by word of mouth. So if you've received value from my work, I'd be so grateful if you took a few seconds to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. I appreciate you. Now back to the show. The shocking reason, though, is that when we actually have this number attached to our food intake, it can actually reduce our satiety and lead to overeating. And you're like, what? How is that true? And so there's actually a fascinating study that that was done, and it's called the Mind Over Milkshake Study, where I think it was Harvard researchers had, and they did this on two separate occasions. They had two groups of people. One, so everyone was given the same milkshake. But one, and it was like, I don't know, 380 calories. One group was labeled like an indulgent milkshake, and that was told on the label, it said it was 600 calories, or actually maybe more than that, 620 calories. And then the other group was given this exact same shake that only had 380 calories in it, but they were told that it was a light or a sensible shake, and that it, and on the label it said it had 140 calories. So they were both given that. They tested their ghrelin levels, which is one of the hormones that signals satiety in our bodies. So they tested their ghrelin levels before they had the milkshake, then just after they'd had the milkshake, and then 90 minutes later or something. And the group that thought they were having the indulgent, so everyone's having the same shake, right? But the group that thought that they had the indulgent milkshake reported feeling satisfied after the milkshake, and also, crazy, their ghrelin levels, so their hunger level, like their hunger hormone levels, dramatically decreased after having this milkshake. Whereas the group who thought they were having the sensible milkshake at 140 calories, even though it was the same shake, they reported feeling not as satisfied afterwards, and their ghrelin levels didn't, like their ghrelin hunger levels stayed the same. So even though they'd consumed different, like the same shake, they had a vastly different level in their hunger, in their satiety hormones, right? In their satiety hormone. And that their experience was that they still felt like they didn't feel very satisfied. Whereas the people who thought they'd had this indulgence shake thought like they actually felt more satisfied. So you can know like what's going to happen in an hour's time. The people who've had the indulgence shake, they're going to still be feeling satisfied. They're not going to be looking for the next snack. Whereas the other people like didn't. And so this translates into when we count calories. If we're telling ourselves, oh, I've only had 150 calories today, or I've had whatever the number is, then we're actually like that thought actually, like there's a psychological component to our hunger and our satiety. And so us thinking that, oh, I should have had enough, actually, like that actually will make us more hungry. Whereas if we think like, or if we think we've satisfied. So using this, like when we, like if we've got this external thing and we're not just tuning into our bodies. So if I could eat the same meal, but if I have zero idea about what the calories are, but I just tune in with my body and go, oh yeah, that I feel satisfied, my hunger level, like my ghrelin level is going to turn down. Whereas if I eat the same meal, but I'm thinking, oh, you know, I haven't eaten whatever my calorie intake was, I'm thinking I'm not feeling satisfied, then I'm actually like, I'm going to experience physical hunger later because of the psychological component. So I know this is really trippy, but it's actually like, this is what the research showing it. And there have been times where I've like, not so, it happens on a regular basis. Say on a Sunday, I had like have a really big meal, and the next day, like on Monday, I'm often not feeling super hungry, and I'll be satisfied with a really small dinner, like kind of surprising. Like it'll be like, you know, a couple of bites of chicken or whatever, and a couple of mouthfuls of veggies, and I'm like, actually, you know what, I'm done. Whereas if I was measuring my calories and I knew how many calories I'd actually consumed, I would be thinking, like, I would have this thought of, oh, that's not enough, and I would eat more. Whereas I'm actually able to feel satisfied with not a lot of calories because I have zero visibility of the calories, and I just go with what my body feels. And so by doing that, by going with what your body feels, you are in effect able to feel satisfied with eating less. So it's like almost, yeah, it's really counterintuitive, but this is my experience. And so this is why in the Naturally Healthy Club, I recommend to people not to track and to instead tune into their body for all those reasons that we've mentioned. So if you're on board with me now with this idea that counting calories is no fun and it's actually counterproductive, then what do we do instead? Well, we learn the skill of listening to our bodies. And if that feels like, Jules, there's no way I could do that, I've like never been able to do that, just know that this is something like we are all designed. We have this innate skill. We have this ability to do it. Just because you've been ignoring it for decades or, you know, years and years, and possibly decades and decades, doesn't mean that it's not still there. And what we need, like in order to tune into it, the first baby step in terms of the next step is to just start bringing awareness to how your body feels. Like, and when I say body, like actually, you, like physically, how does your tummy feel at any point in time? And just start, before you start eating, just check in and see, oh, how does my tummy actually feel? Like, think about actually, how am I, like, is it feeling empty? Is it feeling, and just start opening up those lines of communication between your tummy and your body, like your body and your brain. And that's like, and bringing that awareness into it. And that's the first step to doing it. So I invite you to play around with that this week. And of course, if you'd like some more support with doing that, I have this amazing coaching group called the Naturally Healthy Club, with where we take 6 months to actually go through and guide you through, hold your hand while you learn this skill. And I've just started a new group. So if this is sounding good, definitely get on, because the last group sold out. So make sure you get on the wait list for the group. Next group will be starting in September. Yeah, and actually, before we go, I just have an invitation for you. So if you're enjoying the podcast, like if you're enjoying Joyful Eating, I would love to hear from you, because it can be a bit lonely here in my studio with my ginger flowers, although they are very lovely. I'd really love to hear if Joyful Eating is helping you. I would love to hear from you. So just shoot me a quick email. So jules@thestonesoup.com. I'll put the link in the show notes. I'll put my email address in the show notes. Like, I respond to every message that I get, and I don't get many messages about the podcast. So I would really love to hear what do you love about it? What do you not love? Or even just say, Jules, at the end, this is making a difference to me. I would love to hear that. So that's my invitation to you. So have a fantastic week, and I'll look forward to catching you next week. Bye.
Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup, 6 Ingredients, 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious, they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.